Good morning. This is a little bit different today for us with our Bible class. Thankful for you being here. We are broadcasting live from Palm Beach Lake Church of Christ, and we have this morning a class for all ages, but we're geared towards children. So many of your children may be still in their pajamas around a TV, a phone, or other screen, and we'll be having a class for you this morning. With some talking points and things like that for everyone towards the end. But I think it's important, we don't know exactly how long we're going to be doing this, but we're going to start looking at children in the Bible, children that God used to do great things. And we're going to start by looking at Samuel, the story of Samuel. And the story of Samuel starts with his parents, and we look at Elkanah, his father, and Hannah, his mother. And we see the two of them starts in the book of 1 Samuel. That's a good place to start talking about Samuel, is in the book of 1 Samuel. So we'll be looking there in the first few chapters of this book. And we talk about his parents, and we talk about his mother Hannah did not have any children. And she desperately wanted to have a child. She went with her husband every year up to the temple. And she was sad because she could not have a child, and so they would both travel every year up to the temple. And while they're at the temple, she would pray to God about this. Now, one particular year, as they went up to the temple, Eli saw her praying. Now, when she was praying, she was at the temple. This is not the temple that was the temple that Solomon had built. This, we're still in the tabernacle. We're still in the tent that they were going to worship God in every year. And so it's very different sometimes when we think about the different stages of worship. They were at the tent. And so she went, and she was in front of the tent, and she was praying to God. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody pray before, but we don't always pray out loud, do we? Sometimes we pray to ourselves, but our mouth is still moving while we're praying. And that's what was happening with Hannah. Hannah was in front of the temple, and she was praying, but her mouth was moving, and Eli saw her, and when he saw her, Eli was a prophet of God, Eli was the priest, and when he saw her, he thought that she might have been drunk. Like, she was just acting crazy there, sitting in front, praying, weeping bitterly, the text says, before God, but not actually any noise coming out of her mouth. And so he began to rebuke her. He came up to her and said, "Woman, why are you in front of the tent? Why are you in front of the tent drunk?" And she said, "I am not. I am not. I haven't had any wine or strong drink. I'm praying before God." And so he says to her, she says in verse 16 of chapter 1, "Do not consider your maidservant a worthless one, for I have not spoken until now of my great concern." Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him." She said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And so she understood that God was going to grant her what she'd always wanted. She wanted to have a child with her husband, and God was going to grant that for her. Well, that took place. They did have a child. And she named him Samuel, because "I have asked him of the Lord," is what she says in verse 20. And so she did have this child, Samuel. But Samuel was a little bit different. Samuel had been, she told God that when I have this child, I will dedicate him to serving God. And that's what she did. And so the child, as it grows, she took care of Samuel and helped him grow up. But when it came a certain time when he could be on his own, they took him to the temple, and he was dedicated to the service of God. And you see here, Samuel learned what it meant when he went to live with Eli. He learned to serve God and learned to help Eli in the duties. He learned all the different things that you needed to do in the temple. And so Samuel was there helping Eli and all of these things. But because of this, God blessed Hannah as well, and blessed her with more sons and daughters. And so she was blessed. And we see her faith in God, knowing that God would provide that for her. And so we see her great faith in this lesson. But now we see Samuel. If you think about Samuel grew up with his mom until he could be on his own. And we don't know exactly what that age was, but he had to be, I imagine, self-sufficient in some ways. And so the text just tells us when he was weaned. And so we don't exactly know what age that would be. But he goes to work with Eli in the temple and the other priests that are there. And imagine yourself being there and your mom comes and visits you once a year. Once a year. She brings him a new coat, a new clothing that she's made for him as she continues to grow. But he's there and growing. And the text tells us, in verse 26 of chapter 2. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor with both the Lord and men. And so we see that he continues to grow. In verse 18, it says, Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah, that's his father, and his wife, and say, May the Lord give you children from this woman. And so we see that they continue to have more children. But we see that he continues to grow and got to see his mom once a year. But he was dedicated to the service of God, and God was using him in that way. And so we see his work, his service, even at a very young age, and what he was doing. But he continued to grow. And it's interesting, this verse, in verse 26, is also said of Jesus when Jesus was little, that he continued to grow in the stature and favor with both the Lord and men, or God and men, as we see in the Gospels. And so here is Samuel, who was continuing to grow. We'll talk more about that later. But one night, the text says that Samuel was near the temple or tabernacle. It's interesting the way that the text read in chapter 3. It says, Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord, before the Lord, Eli, and the word from the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were infrequent. It wasn't like God was coming to talk to people every day. It wasn't like God was calling on the phone or texting anybody on a daily basis to see how you're doing. It was something that God was doing very rarely. And so it happened in verse 2, At that time, as Eli was laying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim, and he could not see well. This is Eli. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. What this means, if the lamp had not gone out, is it means we're still talking about the middle of the night. We're talking about early in the morning, middle of the night, when the lamp was supposed to burn through the night. It had not yet gone out. So that's just a time stamp. It gives us an idea of what we're talking about, when we're talking about. And it says that Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. He was not in the Holy of Holies or in any holy place. He was just at the temple where the ark was. So when we read this, some people have thought, well, he's laying down in front of the candles. He's laying down in front of the ark. Well, that's not where he would have been. He was not allowed to be in there. But the text is just telling us that he was in that area, and the ark was there at that time. And so the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, Here I am. Now, if somebody's calling you in the middle of the night, are you going to wake up and think, well, that's God calling me. God's probably calling me right now. That's not what Samuel thought either. So who did he think he was calling him? He thought Eli was calling him. That's a natural thing. That's normal that Eli would be calling him. And so he gets up and he goes to Eli. And Eli says, No, I did not call you. He said, I did not call. Lie down again. And so he told him to lie down. Now, you may have woken somebody up in the middle of the night before, but Eli's like, no, you just go right back to bed. We don't need to talk about anything. I didn't call you. And so the Lord called again in verse 6 of chapter 3, Samuel. So Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now at this point, I imagine Eli's kind of confused, because he knows he's hearing somebody calling him, and the person that would be calling him is saying, I didn't call you. And so maybe he's thinking, maybe Eli's playing a trick on me. I don't know what he was thinking at that time, but it's interesting that he kept doing this.
In verse 7, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So this isn't something that he knew anything about. This isn't something that had happened to him before. So the Lord called Samuel again, verse 8, the third time, and he arose and went to Eli. And he said, here I am, where you called me. And Eli discerned the boy was that the Lord was calling the boy. At that point, Eli kind of, like the light bulb went on. Have you watched cartoons when the light bulb goes off on people's heads? That's what's happening with Eli in this moment. At this moment, early in the morning, he's now realizing that it's God that's calling Samuel. And so this is what instructions that he gives him. He says, go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, which both ears, which at both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day, I will carry out against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. Now, what we need to know, some backstory, is that Eli has two children, two sons, and they're serving in the temple as well, but their tabernacle, but they're not doing the right things. They're doing very many bad things. And God had already spoken to Eli, saying, your sons aren't going to continue. Your sons and your lineage will not be serving me in the temple in this capacity anymore. He's going to be raising up somebody else. And Samuel is that person that he's going to be raising up to serve him. And so we see here that Samuel has to deliver that message to Eli. He says, verse 13, for I have told him that I'm about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. So Samuel lay down until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, but Samuel was afraid to tell his vision to Eli. Now, why do you think Samuel would be afraid to tell his vision to Eli? Have you ever had to tell somebody bad news? This was really bad news. This was the future for Eli, and it was going to be changing drastically. But he still had to tell them the truth. God, in the same way, God gives us message. God gives us information that we have to share. And sometimes we have to tell the truth, even though that it's difficult. And so we look here with Samuel. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. This time he really did call him. He said, what is it? What is the word that he spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. May God do so to you, and more also if you hide anything from me from all the words that he spoke to you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seems good to him. And verse 19, thus Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fail. All Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, because the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And so we see this continuation with Samuel. Samuel told Eli the truth, and Eli accepted it as the message from God. He'd already kind of been told what was going to be happening, but God confirmed that through Samuel. And then after that moment, Samuel becomes this person that everybody, when the Bible talks about from Dan to Beersheba, it's like saying from Georgia to the Keys, everybody knows what's going on. So if you want to talk about all of Florida, you're going to talk about the Florida-Georgia line all the way to the Keys. Everybody knows what's going on. And that's kind of how they use that word here, from Dan to Beersheba. Everybody knows from the north to south what's going on with Samuel, and that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet. And none of the words, none of the things that God spoke to him failed. Everybody was confirmed over and over again that he was being used by God, even as a young boy. And so it's interesting, there's some things that we can learn from Samuel, some things that are important for us today. As we look at this last slide here with our 7 points that may be printed off. Yes, so what's interesting with Samuel, Samuel, as he continued to grow, and that's what I forgot to mention, Samuel was the man that eventually anointed David. as the next king. He was there with a lot of transition with Israel. Samuel did a lot for the nation of Israel. It was Samuel that kind of helped ushered in a king, the first system of being a king, and then again ushered in a better king with David. And God used him mightily. And so what can we learn from Samuel? We can see the importance of faith of parents. It was Hannah that really started the faith of Samuel. As she continued to teach them even at a young age, and that was part of his upbringing. And we see her faith in all of this. We see her faith going and praying before God year after year, continuing to ask and petition. And then when Eli told her, "This you will have a child," she went and washed her face and cleaned herself up and knew that God and trusted that God was going to deliver that for her. So we see the importance of faith of parents in raising children. And then sometimes decisions are made for us, or discussions are made for us, for our good. In this case, a decision was made for Samuel that was not his. It was not his decision to go live with Eli. It wasn't his decision to go and live in the temple and see his mother once a year. But was it for his good? Yes. Did he learn to serve God? Yes. And so sometimes decisions are made for us in a way that helps us to mature. It might not be fun. It might not be what we want to do. But parents know what's best for us. And so sometimes decisions are made for us, like, you know, not being able to meet or not being able to come to services like we are. And so we also need to focus on spiritual growth as much as our physical. Samuel grew in stature and in favor with both God and men, and we see his continued growth. And so a lot of times we focus on our physical growth, right? Parents focus on what we need to eat, why we're supposed to live, and maybe even exercise and things of that matter, things that we're involved in, sports. But as important as that is, we need to focus more on our spiritual growth. Those things are very important as we continue to grow up. Our faith that carries us on is what's going to carry us on into eternity. And so those things are more important than anything else. And sometimes we can be a messenger for God no matter our age. If we study the Bible and know the Bible truth, we can be a messenger for God even despite how old we are. I know a certain young man that when he met somebody who was an atheist, he began to tell them, "How can you not believe in God? It was God that made your heart. It was God that did these things." And even at a young age, this young man was speaking the truths of God to somebody. And so it doesn't matter our age. As long as we're talking and using the Bible and telling people about things, we can be a messenger for God. Something else that we can learn here, there should be people in our lives that help us to grow in our faith. Our parents do that. And there are maybe our grandparents, maybe other people in your lives that at church that are good examples, that are teachers in Bible classes that help us grow in our faith. A lot of what I know today and because of my teachers, even in Bible school. I still remember my Bible school teachers. There was one particular lady when I was much younger that I still remember her classes. And so those people play an important role in our lives. And hopefully you have those people as well. We shouldn't also underestimate the work of youth for God. There's something that to be said about what youth can do, and so we need to. So we see that here with Samuel, God chose him to work here at Palm Beach Lakes. We still, our youth are involved in many different activities for God, as far as mission trips, teaching classes, and so we need to not underestimate how God can use even the young people in the church. And then lastly, sometimes we have to say hard things, even to people we care about. And that's what Samuel had to do with Eli. It was not an easy thing for Samuel to be able to say that to Eli. And he said, the Bible even tells us that he was afraid to do it, but he did it because it was God's message. And we see how Eli received it. Eli received it as the word of God. It was God, let God do what God needs to do. And so we see that in Samuel's life. These things, and there's others probably, that we can learn from Samuel. But these are seven things we can learn from the life of Samuel and see how God used him And we'll be looking, if we are meeting like this again next Sunday, we'll be continuing this study of different people that were used by God in this way. We are going to take a brief break. We'll be back together at 10 o'clock, and we hopefully will see you there. Thank you very much for your time this morning.